कुंडनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are learning the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. So today we will discuss the nine namas starting from the 207th nama till the 215th nama. So we learned the previous day about Sagunam and Nirgunam. It's good to remember again that it doesn't matter whether we worship Saguna Ishvara or Nirguna Ishvara. It doesn't matter. What really matters is always being focused on Ishvara, pervading the entire world with Ishvara, getting rid of Dvaitam or duality. That is the goal. That should be the goal of a sadhaka. And not worship of either Nirgunam or Sagunam. Ultimately, Devi or Brahman is ultimately Nirgunam. It's ultimately without any qualities, because qualities, Gunam or attributes are there only at the empirical plane. At the ultimate perspective, there is no Dvaitam. If there is no Dvaitam, if there is no Bhedam, then there is no scope for either Guna or any such limitations, any such Bhedam. That's also why one of Amma's Nama says that Om Sajatiya Vijatiya Sviya Bheda Niravrate Namaha. Amma is one who is devoid of the three Bhedas, three differences of Sajatiya Vijatiya Sviya. Sajatiya Bhedam. Bhedam are differences between entities of the same class, same species, same family. One tree is different from another tree. One body is different from another body. And there is Vijatiyam, difference between entities of different family. So a tree is different from a body. A tree is different from a stone. So that is Vijatiya Bhedam. And there is Sviya Bhedam. Sviya means internal, or it's also called Swagata Bhedam. A body has various parts, various limbs as we call them, hands, legs, etc. So that is Swagata Bhedam. These three Bhedam are not there from the paramarthika level, because the Shastras say that Sadeva Saumyedam Agre Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. Sat alone existed previously, one without a second. So ekameva dvitiyam, that those three words, ekameva dvitiyam, that says that there is no difference in Brahman, with respect to Brahman. So from Nirgunam there is no differences at all. So ultimately Devi is Nirgunam, but in order to achieve that Nirguna Brahman, we can concentrate on a particular form, we can take a form, we can have a form. But what is important is to pervade that form, using that form to get rid of duality, by pervading, by making the form all pervasive. So it doesn't matter whether we worship Sagunam or Nirgunam. What is important is Mayi Aveshita Chetasam. Person who fixes his mind onto Ishvara, that Ishvara who alone is present here. Aham Adishcham Madhyam cha bhutanam anta eva cha. I am the starting, I am the middle, I am the end of all beings. Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So I am the Kshetrajna, indwelling self, the essence of all beings. So these are words of Krishna in Gita. So what is important is to get rid of Dvaitam, going beyond Dvaitam, going beyond Ragadvesham. And if a form helps us to do that, then the form is also fine. But if we worship the formless and that doesn't help us to get rid of duality, then there is no point of even worshipping or having that formless devotion. So it cannot itself called be devotion, because devotion is when mayeva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyati mayeva ata udvam na samshayah. Fix your mind onto me, fix your intellect onto me. Fix your mind onto me means always have me in your mind, always have the thought of Ishvara. And fix your intellect on me means ascertain, always assert that everything is one entity alone. Always remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that there is only one entity here, which is Brahman Devi Ishvara. Give it different name, it doesn't matter, it is just a difference in Namam. Sorry, that is the reason why we saw yesterday the last three Namas of Sarva Mantra Swarupini, Sarva Yantratmika, Sarva Tantra Rupa, and before that Sarva Mayi. Devi is everything. So that means there is no Dvaitam. So it doesn't matter whether we worship form God or formless God, but fix your mind onto Ishvara. What Ishvara? That Ishvara who is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, denoted by those four words, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. And when you do that, Nivasishyasi Mayeva Ata Urdhvam, Ataha Urdhvam. Therefore, Urdhvam, after this, you will always reside in me. Na Samshayaha, there is no Samshayam, there is no doubt regarding this. So it is always good to remember that. So the goal of Lalita Sahasranama, learning Lalita Sahasranama, the thousand names of Devi, is for a better way of understanding who Devi is for making Devi part of our mind, part of our thought process, and also making us understand as to what is the real nature of Devi, what is Devi, who is Devi, is she just a Tripura Sundari, or is she something else as well? So, as per Lalita Sahasranama or Vedanta, as the Vedantic works, the scriptures, Shastram, or Vedantic works tell, everything is one entity. That one entity is Devi. That's how Shastras define or declare Devi to be. So, remembering that, we are learning the current namas that we are learning are Saguna aspect of Devi. So till now we learnt about Devi being or having all auspicious qualities. So the next few namas will be about Devi being or taking up roles in the world. So some people or majority of the people consider or think that worldly life and spiritual life both cannot coexist. So that's the reason why when a person starts in the spiritual path, or if a person starts the spiritual quest for realization, for moksha, and he starts learning Vedantam. So when he starts learning Vedanta, what happens is people think that he is going crazy. And that's because the general notion is that worldly life cannot go hand in hand with spiritual life, but that is not true. A spiritual master, a person who is abiding in Ishvara, abiding in the truth of Brahman, who is always remembering Devi, will not stay away from karma. Janaka didn't stay away from karma. He did whatever he had to do, and the very incident that Vyasa sends Shuka, his son Shuka, to Janaka itself shows as to Janaka is a Brahmajnani. Such a Brahmajnani didn't stay away from worldly activities. So even the current day Shankaracharyas and all, they do actions, they perform ritualistic karma, they do nitya puja, they do all those. So they don't stay away from worldly actions. So they do actions But the difference is that they are not affected by the action. So we can also say that, oh, I am also doing action, I will live in the world and still be spiritual. So nobody can judge it. No person other than ourselves can judge as to whether we are capable, whether we are really doing it. And if we really need opinion, we just have to analyze ourselves or go to these Mahatmas, various Mahatmas who are around us, to find out whether we are really implementing. So a person who is implementing, person who is mixing both worldly life as well as spiritual life, will always be blissful. But a person who thinks he is mixing worldly life and spiritual life, he'll always be sad, whatever is the situation. Even when such a person is attending the Mahasamadhi camp, he will be sad. He'll be worrying about things. Even when he is attending Amma's US tour or retreat, still he will be sad. So even when he is learning Radha Sahasranama, still there will be sorrow, because sorrow vanishes only when a person is abiding in Brahman, all the while empirically doing all actions. So empirical actions or activities, vyavaharam, will still go on, but still, since the mind is abiding in Brahman, therefore there will be happiness. So Amma says that if there is true love, wherever there is true love, even pain or even sorrow seems to be like no sorrow. It becomes a happy feeling. So we know that if we look around in the world, we can find out lovers or people who temporarily have good love or true love. They find that they are able to do a lot of things for their love, for the sake of their love, though they have themselves have to go through all kind of suffering. So the next Nama speak about Devi as doing activities or responsibilities, taking care of responsibilities in the world. So it means it is a way of telling that just because a person has to learn or a person has to abide in Brahman doesn't necessarily mean that he has to get away from the world. We may think that going or joining a mission or taking sannyasa is in fact getting away from activities, but that is not the case. Sannyasis also have activities to do. They have activities to do, they do activities. Tejomay Ananda, Paramatma Ananda. Many sannyasis do actions, they don't sit idle. They cannot sit idle because they also have activities for them to do in the world, because nahi kaschit kshanam abhi jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate hi avashah karmah sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Not even for a single moment a person can live in the world without doing actions. Everybody does actions because they are unable to help, because they are bound by prakriti gunas, by the three gunas. But a mahatma, a jnani, will do actions as per his vasana. Still internally he has the attitude of detachment. He is always detached with the action or the fruit. Therefore, though he is doing an action like any worldly person, still he is ever blissful. So through these namas, Hayagriva is trying to tell whatever the scriptures tell, that just because a person has to achieve or attain the goal of Brahman, which is beyond the world, doesn't mean we have to get rid of the world. The world which doesn't exist cannot be got rid of. The water that is not seen in desert cannot be removed. We just need to know that it doesn't exist. Still it may be seen. We all know that there is no dream world, but still we dream daily. So it will be there, but the conviction that it is not there will make us dream in a better way. We'll also run behind water seen in desert, as Shankara says in his Gita Bhashyam. A person, a jnani, will run behind water in the desert. He may also seek things like we do. But at the end, like when the running is over, a worldly person will become sad, whereas a jnani will not become sad, because he knows that there is no water at all. So spirituality is not getting away from worldly activities, but spirituality is pervading the worldly activities with the thought of Ishvara, being detached with the thought of Ishvara. So that is what is to be done with respect to the world. So the next namas are speak about Devi. Next 2-3 namas speak about Devi as or doing or donning the role of a wife. So the next nama is Om Manon Manye Namaha. Manon Mani. So Manon Manan means Shiva. Manon Mani means one who is the wife of Manon Manan. So Manon Mani has also is interpreted in a little different way. So Manon Mani means when the mind is without any thoughts, mind is shunyam. So Manon Mani, Mana Unmani. So Unmanam means like merging or vanishing kind of thing. So Manas, merging or vanishing of the mind, which means the mind is thoughtless. So Shiva is considered to be one of the great yogis, one of the great jnanis that we find in the Puranas. Whatever he is doing, whatever is being done in the world, still he is ever blissful. Even when he had to fight with his own wife, even when his own son went away from him, during all those times Shiva was always blissful. Shiva, the word Shiva itself means consciousness, or that conscious principle. So that means Shiva is, the name of Shiva means one who is always abiding in consciousness, one who is abiding in Brahman, one who is abiding in Devi. So such a person is without, obviously has to have no thoughts. If he doesn't have any thoughts, then does he do any action? How can he do action? So no thoughts means that thoughts may be there at the empirical level, but those thoughts are known to be unreal. That means the thoughts are associated with another thought, the thought that all these thoughts are an illusion. So it's like telling that a person is portraying a role in a film, but there is another character in the film who is always there to tell us, oh, this is only a film, this is only a film, this is only a film. What will happen? We may, while portraying the role in the film, we may get deluded, we may get attached to people around. So we find that people are in the world, we find a lot of people getting movie stars marrying after working together in a movie. So the best example, I don't want to get into examples, the best example is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So we can find all those happening in the world. When you are associated with somebody for a long period of time, that creates an attachment. We create an attachment to the other person. So though it is only a film, but still the film makes or creates a change in our real life. So this is like in the dream world, we see a lot of things, and all of a sudden a lion springs out of nowhere. Seeing the lion, we become very afraid, and then we wake up. So similarly, we can consider it that way. So whenever that thought is there, so we may dream, but dream world is not a perfect example for that, but the film is perfect example. So if there is a person in the film who says always that, okay, this is an illusion, this is an illusion, this is a film, this is a film, this is a film, then we will not get deluded. So that means that the one thought that says that everything is only one entity, that is capable of negating other thoughts or keeping other thoughts in control. In control in the sense the other thoughts will be reflected externally or converted into actions, but internally it will not affect us. So we will become like an ocean. If we look at the ocean, like at the top of the ocean, there is a lot of turbulence, waves, this, that and all. But when we go more and more deeper into the ocean, we'll find that there is only peace, there is only calmness there, there's stillness there. Similarly, externally, do all actions, internally, always be calm, unaffected by things. So that is what Manu and Mani is, one who is that way. So we can consider it as wife of Shiva, or we can consider it as one who is without any thought. So if we worship Devi, if we worship Manu and Mani Devi, then our thoughts, the very thought of Devi is enough to negate all other thoughts. It is enough to take us from some dukkham and take us to Anandam. So the next nama is Om Maheshwaryai Namaha. So Maheshwari, so Maheshwara, it is very well known that Maheshwara is Shiva. So Maheshwara's wife is Maheshwari. So Maheshwari is Maheshwara's wife. So what is the meaning of Maheshwara? So Maheshwara means Mahaishwara. Ishwara is one who controls things. Maheshwara means very big, very great Ishwara. What is great about this Ishwara? There are many Ishwaras. There are Ishwaras with respect to each and everything in the world. Bill Gates is the Ishwara with respect to Windows software. Steve Jobs is the Ishwara with respect to Apple things coming out. They can, like, James Gosling, who is considered to be the father of Java, he is the Ishwara of Java. So amongst all these Ishwara, a greater Ishwara is there. Who is that Ishwara? It is that Ishwara who has become the entire world, who is in the entire world, yet who is not even tainted, not even little bit, he is tainted, he is always blissful. That is Maheshwara. If Maheshwara is that way, he is in the world, he is present in the world, but he is unaffected, but he is a mere sakshi, mere witness, then his wife also has to be the same. If he has married somebody, then that person also has to be that way. So which means Devi is also the controller of the entire world. Devi has created the entire world, she has become the entire world, still she is unaffected by it. Which also means if we worship such a Devi, we will also become unaffected. We will be taken to that state where we are in the world, we do activities like a normal person, but internally we are unaffected. Oh, if a husband is good, wife need not be good. We don't see it happening in the world. So that's the reason why there is another nama which we will learn today. So the 211th nama. So we have skipped two namas. That's fine. So Mridapriyayai Namaha. Om Mridapriyayai Namaha. Mridapriya. So Mridapriya means Mridan. Mridan is one of the names for Shiva. So Mridapriya. Priya means one who is liked, one who is dear to Mridan. So one who is very dear to Shiva. Devi is very dear to Shiva. So Devi is very dear to Shiva, therefore it is, if Shiva is detached and he is attached to somebody, then that person can only be have only one quality, which is the quality of detachment, which is there in Shiva. If I have to get attached to some software developer, then I will get attached only to a person in Java, who knows Java, because I know only Java. I cannot get attached to something else. There should be some similarity. So the similarity, and since Shiva is detached in nature, if Shiva was like in any of us, he has lot of weakness, he has attachments, raga dvesham, bhedam, etc., then he may go for other things. But here Shiva is detached. Shiva is in advitiyam or paramarthika level. So in that case, Shiva can get attached only to somebody who is in the paramarthika level, which means that Devi is also in the paramarthika level. So which means that answers the objection that if husband is in a way like this, the wife need not be like this. So that is not true. Whenever, if in certain cases, in the case of Shiva and Shakti, Shiva is like spiritual, and therefore his wife is also spiritual. So the next nama, going back to 209th nama, is Om Mahadevyai Namaha. Mahadevi. So Mahadevi means, this word can be interpreted in multiple ways. So Urayashir Anna interprets it as Mahadevi is Mahadev's wife. So Mahadev is Shiva. Shiva's wife is Mahadevi. So again, Mahadev, always Mahad, what is the meaning of Mahadev? Dev or Devata. Devatas are called Devatas because Dev. Dev is the Dhatu for the word Deva, which means a bright or shining entity. So that which is conscious, again going back to consciousness. That consciousness, which is not like Shiva. Shiva is that consciousness which is unattached, which is unaffected. Whereas Dev is that consciousness which illumines everything. Even illusions are being illumined by that. So Devatas, wherever Devatas are there, people will get illumined. Illumined in the sense, at least they will get a little bit more happiness. Yes, if we go to Devaloka, we will get more happiness than what we have here. So that is the meaning. Deva means one who illumines. It is consciousness. Mahadeva. Mahadeva is the biggest Deva. He is the biggest Deva because he is the substratum of everything. He is the Deva Deva. He is the light of all lights. Therefore, we can say he is Mahadeva. And his wife is Devi. Which also again gets going back that Devi is also consciousness in nature or illumining in nature. If we cannot apprehend or if we cannot accept Devi or Mahadevi, the Nama of Mahadevi as pointing to Mahadev's wife, then we can directly interpret as Devi. So Deva is male and Devi is female, and Mahadevi is greatest Devi. She is greatest Devi because there are many people, many Devatas who do lot of things in the world, who illumine a lot of things, who take care of activities, who take care of things. Surya Deva takes care of day or giving us light, nourishment, etc. Chandra Deva also gives, but Mahadevi is one who nourishes everything, one who is a substratum, one who is the essence of everything, without whom the world cannot exist at all. So therefore she is called Mahadevi. We can interpret it that way. So the next nama is Om Mahalakshmi Namaha. So Mahalakshmi. So she is Mahalakshmi. So Lakshmi means Lakshmi is one of the Devis, the Devi who is known to give Aishwaryam or prosperity as well as wealth. So Devi is Mahalakshmi. So Devi as Tripurasundari is Mahalakshmi, means she will give whatever we want in the world. So she is not Lakshmi. Lakshmi will give only things like if somebody pleases her or somebody pleases Vishnu, Lakshmi might give something. But in this case for Devi, we don't need to please her that much and all. Just get a little bit of devotion and immediately Devi will give us everything. And so if tracing back or going back to Amma's retreat, like we will be able to recollect as to what Krishnamrita Prana said about while speaking about Amma. She spoke about Kuchela. So Krishna gave Kuchela. Rukmini made Krishna give a little bit of rice to Kuchela because she knew that little bit itself will become a lot of wealth which Kuchela cannot handle. So that means Kuchela didn't ask anything. Even without asking, with a little bit of surrender, he had surrendered, he got so many things. So that is what happens in the world. So when Shankara took up sannyasa. Adi Shankaracharya took up sannyasa. Sannyasins are supposed to take bhiksha. They are supposed to take alms and eat only the food or things that they get out of alms, bhiksha. Bhiksha bhojanam alone they are supposed to eat. So Shankara went out for bhiksha. So one lady came out of the house. She wanted to give something to Shankara, but she couldn't give anything at all. So finally she got one grain of rice and she gave that to Shankara. Shankara was so touched. Not grain, it is some, in some cases it is considered as the amla fruit. So she gave a little small fruit, nellika it's called in Tamil. So and Shankara became so pleased, so touched by it that he sang the Kanakadara Stotram when Lakshmi Devi's grace fell upon the lady of the house. So that means the lady just had to show a little bit of surrender. She didn't have total surrender and all to Shankara. She didn't consider Shankara as Ishvara or something. She had that 1 second surrender. And that small surrender, even if it is very small, that surrender is enough to give us a lot of things. And why is it that if we have some surrender, we can get a lot of things in the world? Because she is the controller. She is Maheshwari. So she is the controller of the entire world. So if she is the controller of the entire world, then she can control what is happening. To an extent, she can very well control. That's the reason why Krishna says that Daivihesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratiya. My Maya is very tough indeed to conquer, but still he says that Mameva Ye Prapadyante, whoever worships me, Maya Metam Tarantite, they overcome Maya. That's what Krishna says. So Ishvara, one who a magician controls his magic, therefore if we surrender onto the magician, then the magician can take us out of the magic. He can make an exception with respect to us. So that can happen. So similarly with respect to Devi, if we get a little bit of surrender, then Devi will grant us. Devi will become Mahalakshmi. So Mahadevi and Mahalakshmi, we can consider those two as two different aspects as well, we can say. So Mahadevi is consciousness, which means it is Sattva Guna Pradhanam. Mahalakshmi Namaha, as well as Maheshwari, both are with respect to Rajogunam. So Rajoguna Pradhanam. So all aspects, Devi is everything, Sarvamayi, Devi is everything. So with Sagunam there is Gunam, that means one Guna Pradhanam, any Gunas can be Pradhanam. But whatever gunas are pradhanam, Devi has only one goal. Her goal is that she has to take us away from this sorrowful world. Only, but she can do that only if we have surrender. If we have surrender, she will take us out of this. So the next nama is Om Maharupayai Namaha. So Maharupa. So Rupam, there are many forms in the world. But Devi's form is Maharupam. Why it is Maharupam? So there is another nama, and later we will see in Lalita Sahasranama of Brihat Sena. Devi Sena, Devi's army is Brihat. Very big. Why it is very big? Is it bigger than Alexander's army? Is it bigger than Kaurava's army? Yes, it is, because Devi's army constitutes all the people in the world. Everything is essentially Devi, that means everything is Devi's army. So everybody is part of Devi's army, therefore she is Brihat Sena. Similarly, Devi's form is the greatest or biggest form because it is the form encompassing the entire world. It is that form which pervades, which pierces through each individual form and becomes the entire world, the entire universe. So it is that form which has all these illusory forms, which is made up of all these forms, and it is also a great form because it is formless. That which is formless has to be infinite. So infinity, we use the word infinity in mathematics and other sciences. We use it to denote something which is beyond our apprehension. So a form or formless is that whose form occupies infinite space. So that means it has to be Maharupam, the very big or greatest Rupam, because it is that Rupam which is Arupam. So there is one Amma's song, Arupam Arupamai Kanenam. So Rupam Arupamai Kanenam. Rupam, we can have Rupam, but that Rupam has to become big and big and big. So this Nama is also a way that Devi is telling us as to what to do, or Hayagriva is telling through one of Devi's Nama as to what to do in the world. So there are many Rupam. We have attachment to one or the other Rupam in the world. Some people get attached to the sun, some people get attached to the moon, some people get attached to Bill Gates, some other people get attached to Brad Pitt, others get attached to Shah Rukh Khan. So there are different forms that we get attached to. But we have to get attached to the big form. Whatever form we are attached to, we have to make that form the big form. How can you make it the big form? By knowing or by remembering that everything is that form. By internally in the mind making that form pervade the entire world. So Maharupa is the way out of Rupam. If we have attachment to a Rupam, if we are attached to Amma's Rupam, we are attached to Krishna's Rupam, if we are attached to Vishnu's Rupam or any other Rupam, Shiva's Rupam, then we just have to pervade that Rupam, make this Rupam big and big and make it Maharupam. So what is this Maharupam used specifically for? Om Mahapujyaye Namaha. So Mahapujyaye Namaha. So Mahapujyaye. So this Maharupam is used for puja. So it's for puja. It is for worship. Worship of whom? Who really worship Devi? We can say, oh, we worship Devi, but is this real worship? This is just a temporary limited worship. As Amma terms it, it is time pass of worship, or we can say part-time worship. So real worship is done by Mahatmas, Jnanis, who are always residing in Devi, who are worshipping this Maharupam. So this Maharupam is used for puja by whom? Maha. So Mahan Puja. By Mahatmas, Devi is worshipped. So Devi is worshipped by Mahatmas. So Mahatmas alone really worship Devi. And what do they get out of the worship of Devi? Om Mahapadaka Nashinyai Namaha. Mahapadaka Nashini. When Mahatmas worship Devi through Maharupam, Mahadevi becomes, Devi removes Nashini, Devi destroys Mahapatakam. So big troubles, whatever big troubles are there in the world, everything, whether it is natural calamity, whether it is man-made calamity, whether it is calamity from with respect to objects, with respect to nuclear devices, all whatever obstacles are there in the world, all that will be destroyed by Devi. But if Devi has to destroy, what do we have to do? We have to become Mahans. How can we become Mahans? Mahatmas are people who worship Maharupam. So we can become Mahatmas by doing or by worshipping, starting to worship Maharupam, and day by day increasing the time we worship Maharupam. And when we are able to worship the Maharupam at all times, we are able to worship Devi at all times, at that time we are we can say that we are the Mahatmas who worship Devi, who is Mahapujya, and Devi we will become Mahapataka Nashini. Until that time we can say that, oh, Aishwara's grace is there, he is always protecting me. Yesterday when I was driving, I was about to hit another car because I was sleeping. All of a sudden, like somebody honked and I got up and I didn't hit the car. It's Amma's grace that just happened. So we can say, we can give a lot of or speak about a lot of miracles that happened in the world, but that is not Mahapadaka Nashini. It is only small things that Devi tries to, it is, we can consider it as a beta version of Devi's form of Mahapadaka Nashini. Devi tries to assert that she is there by removing some small sorrows, but really the big obstacles or all obstacles, if they have to vanish, then we have to worship Maharupam. If we get deluded into these small things that Devi helps in solving us from, the troubles from which Devi helps us, we will get deluded. We will not go behind Mahapadaka Nashini. If we don't go behind Mahapadaka Nashini, Devi will help us when our time is good. Devi will not be able to help us when the time is bad. So in Bhagavatam, in the portion Mahabali Charitam, in Mahabali's story, the story about Mahabali. Mahabali is an asura, so he starts attacking the devatas because his swadharmam, his whatever actions he is supposed to do in the world is attack the devatas. So he attacks devas and then he sends Indra away. So when at one time when Indra was sent away from Swarga, so Indra runs to Vishnu and cries to him, "Oh Vishnu, please protect me." That time Vishnu says to Indra, "Oh Indra, even I cannot help you now. When time is favorable for you, I can help you. When time is not favorable for you, I cannot help you. So for now, the best thing you can do is escape from Mahabali and stay in a safe place." That's what Vishnu says. So that means Devi will be able to help us, but Devi cannot change everything because as we saw yesterday, Devi doesn't want to change because there is nothing to change here. So that means only when our time is favorable, Devi will also be able to help. When our time is not favorable, we'll have to face. We cannot completely eradicate karma because we are at the Vyavaharika level. The moment we go to the Paramarthika level, Vyavaharam, or all troubles vanish. That is how this Maharupam helps us to get the grace of Mahapadakanashini. Devi becomes Mahapadakanashini when we pervade the form, make it a Maharupam. When it becomes a Maharupam, there is no Dvaitam at all. That means we are no longer in Vyavaharam. We may be doing Vyavaharam or activities at the Vyavaharika level, but still we no longer are attached to the Vyavaharam. We are always abiding in Paramarthikam, and in Paramarthikam there is no trouble. Whatever troubles come, it will be like the troubles that we face in a dream. It will be like troubles that an actor undergoes when his role has to go through such phases. So that is how Devi becomes Mahapataka Nashini. So we have to strive to become Mahatmas by worshipping Maharupam, which means we have to Mayeva Mana Adatva. We have to think about Devi in our mind, keep Devi in our mind with our intellect asserting that this Devi is one alone. She alone is present in the entire world. The entire world is one entity, which is Devi alone. That is transition from Vyavaharam to Paramarthikam, Vyavaharika level to Paramarthika level, which means both levels are still there, but we are attached, we are in the Paramarthika level. All the while Vyavaharam may or may not continue, still we will be blissful. So how is Devi able to get rid of all obstacles? How does Devi become Mahapadaka Nashini? Because Om Mahamayayai Namaha. So Mahamaya, so Maya, we know about, we have heard about Maya, but Devi is Mahamaya. So Mahamaya is greatest delusion. So Maya word, Vedanta uses just Maya, because in Vedantic terminology, Vedanta is for people whom, Vedantic seekers are people who know the basic terms, who start learning Vedantam or Vedanta, Vedantic scriptures with introductory texts like Vedanta Saram or Laghu Vasudeva Mananam or other works like Panchadashi. So when they enter into real Vedantic work or real Vedantam, they know all these terms. But here, it is for normal people, for all people. These namas are for all people, which means that Mahamaya means Maya. There are a lot of delusions in the world. So water seen in desert is a delusion. We daily get deluded by one or the other person. We think somebody will help us, somebody doesn't help us. We get deluded, we get cheated. So Mahamaya, greatest delusion. What is the greatest delusion? The greatest or the biggest delusion that can happen to a person is when a person forgets his own nature. So when we forget our own nature of Ananda Swarupam, when we forget that we are Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha, that is the greatest delusion. And since Devi is the greatest delusion, that means Devi herself has become the greatest delusion. At the Vyavaharika level, Devi becomes the Upadana Karanam of Maya and Nimitta Karanam of Ishvara. Devi herself becomes the world as well as the Maya, which deludes people. But ultimately, she is Brahman. So since she controls what she itself, Maya is her own very nature, Mahamaya is her own very nature, that means she can very easily get us out of it. So that which is under my control, that which is my very nature, I can change it. So I can change it myself. If I have control over my body, I can change anything and everything in the body. One day I will become very fat, the very next day I can become very slim if it is under my control. So Mahadevi is Mahamaya, which means she can control. Which means if we get that surrender, if we worship the Maharupam, which means we get the surrender onto Devi. Surrender means having the thought of Devi in the mind, not letting go of the thought of Devi, along with remembering that everything is Devi alone. If we are able to do that, then since Devi has caused this delusion, Devi herself is this delusion, the delusion that keeps us in samsaram, the delusion that makes us feel that we are limited, the delusion that makes us suffer in the world, the delusion that keeps us in samsara sagaram, keeps us in the vyavaharika level, that will immediately vanish because Devi is the person, Devi is Mahamaya herself. So that means Devi is able to become Mahapadakanashini because Devi is Mahamaya. So from our side, what do we have to do? Doesn't matter whether there is Nirgunam or Sagunam, what we have to do is Mai Eva Mana Adatsva Mai Buddhim Niveshaya. Another way of putting it is Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi Brahma Agno Brahma Ahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. So everything is Brahman in a Yajna. Consider that this entire world or the activities that we do in the world is an Yajna. So Brahma Arpanam, the Arpanam that we do is Brahman. Brahma Havihi, the Havis that we offer is Brahman. Brahma Agnav, the Agni that is there, that is also Brahman. Brahmana Hutam, this is done by Brahman. What is the goal to be achieved? Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam. Brahman alone is to be achieved or attained through this Yajnam. And how do we do it? Brahma Karma Samadhina. By samadhi, by absorption, by remembering that everything is Brahman. And it's the same thing that Krishna says, that yat karoshi yadashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvam adarpanam yat karoshi, whatever you do, yadashnasi, so whatever you eat, yat juhoshi, whatever you offer onto Homakunda, or like offer on to yourself as an yajna, yajna agni, we can consider dahara agni and give it to our own body. Dadasi, yes, whatever you give to others, yes, tapasyasi kaunteya, whatever austerities you do as well, tat kurushva madarpanam, do this as an offering on to me. What is the use of such offering? Shubha shubha phalairevam mokshase karma bandhanaihi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto maam upaishyasi. A person who offers everything, he becomes devoid of shubha shubha phalam, he is unaffected by phalam, nor is bonded by karma. So bondage of karma is kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum chat bunjate. Doing action for enjoyment, enjoying for action, so getting deluded into karma. So bondage of karma is not there. Such a person, sannyasa yoga yukta atma, he has renounced everything, he has yogam because he is always focused on me. Vimukto vimuktaha, he becomes liberated from everything. Maam upaishyasi, he attains me. So that is what Krishna says in Gita. Now even if it means that we are doing bad actions, there is nothing called bad or good actions in the world. All actions are good. Any action that is associated internally with the thought of Devi, with the thought of that Devi who is the substratum of the entire world, that Devi who is denoted by Shankara as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that is good. That will take us towards moksha, that will give us more and more anandam. And for that, it doesn't matter laukikam or atmiyam, There are no such differentiation. The only way we can differentiate laukikam or actions as laukikam and atmiyam is that is atmiyam. Those activities are atmiyam in which there is remembrance of Devi, remembrance of Brahman, that is atmiyam. Wherever Devi is forgotten, that is laukikam. Even if that such an activity is chanting of Lalita Sahasranama or singing bhajans. That's the reason why we can see a lot of people singing bhajans, and when they become old, they become very sad. Oh, I cannot sing very well now. So they become very sad. So what is the point of sorrow? Wherever Ishvara is there, Anandam is always there. So Amma gives a beautiful story to tell, illustrate this point. That wherever Ishvara is there, there is only Anandam there. Wherever thought of Ishvara is there, thought of that Ishvara who pervades the entire world, there can only be Anandam. So once Krishna was sitting along with gopis on the shores of Yamuna. So at that time he asked the gopis, So imagine that you are getting into trouble. So what will you do? If you are facing some trouble, what will you guys do? So one of the gopis said that, Oh Krishna, I'll pray unto you. So another gopi said, Oh Krishna, I'll pray that you give me strength to withstand it. So amidst all these various different types of answers, I'll remember you. I'll pray you. Another gopi said, I will worship you, call out to you, I'll cry for you. So amidst all these actions, all these replies, Radha was silent. So Krishna asked Radha, what will you do? So Radha said, Oh Krishna, I'll remember you. So then Krishna asked, then what? So Radha said, what else needs to be done? If I remember you, that very moment my life becomes blissful. Remembering you is bliss itself. Then what else needs to be done? So wherever there is thought of Devi, the very thought of Devi, there will only be Anandam. So it doesn't matter. And this remembering Devi, after learning Lalita Sahasranama, after learning Vedantam or Vedantic works, we are kind of experts in Vedanta now. We know what is real, what is unreal. We know what the Shastra say. We know the fundamentals of Vedantam. But what we have to do is we have to try to implement, and that implementation means just remembering Vedantic truth, remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. That alone has to be remembered. For remembering this, there is no limitation of time. There is nothing like you should remember before sunset, you should remember after sunset, you should remember when you are awake, you should remember when you are sleeping. There is nothing like that. There is no limitation of time. At any point of time, we can remember it. We can remember Ishvara. We can do this. And there is no limitation of space. There is nothing like we should do it only while we are in our house, while we are in the puja room. We can do it in anywhere. We can do it in the restroom. We can do it while we are outside. We can do it in a pub. We can do it in the club. We can do it anywhere. There is no limitation whatsoever. And there is no limitation also of the, there is no tantram, or there is no nothing like we have to do it in a particular way. There is no particular way for it. It's nothing like you have to sit down and then sing bhajans. It's like singing bhajans. If you have to sit down, you have to clap, you'll have to open your mouth, all those. There are no such limitations for this kind of bhajan. This is the real bhajan, which doesn't have any limitation. No limitation of time, space, or any which way to do it. And does it cost much? There is no cost associated. It comes free of cost. We lose nothing by doing it. By doing it, we'll not lose anything. We'll not lose time. We'll not lose space. We'll not lose friends. We'll not lose relatives. Rather than losing things, we will get more and more. More and more people will come towards us. More and more people will be there always to help us, guide us whenever we are in trouble. And not just that, that is from external or empirical level. From the ultimate perspective, this will give us more and more Anandam. That is what is required. We seek money, power, we seek things of the world, we seek to go beyond limitations because we need anandam, which we don't get. But this will give us anandam, and anandam comes at no cost. It comes free of cost. You don't have any limitation whatsoever for it. We don't need to go and meet Mahatmas like Amma or any other person. Without meeting them as well, we can have. Without reading a book, we can get it. What is really needed, the one thing that is needed, is remembering, or our effort, our strong will, our desire that I want to remember this. That is the only thing that really matters for this kind of bhajan, this kind of kirtanam, this kind of jnanam, implementation of Vedanta. And that the fruit that we get out of it is always being blissful. So let Amma help us in always implementing this remembrance of Ishvara at all times, so that we will ever be blissful. May Amma always help us with that. May Amma's grace be with us. Namaskar.